Hey, everybody. This is Brett. Today is July 4th. To celebrate, I brought a man from Britain on the show. I'll tell you more. Sure, I will tell you more. Okay, Jake DeSillis, great friend of School Sucks. He does the Voluntary Life podcast. He's been on several times in the past. His work lines up really nicely with some of the stuff that we're doing. And a while back, Jake sent me a draft of a book that he was writing. Title of the book was Becoming an Entrepreneur: How to Find Freedom and Fulfillment as a Business Owner. He wanted me to read the first chapter, which was called Breaking Free, and it's about overcoming your conditioning through the school system prevents so many people from becoming entrepreneurs. And you have to apologize. I have to apologize. This is all one take. This is the first show I've ever released without listening back to it at all or editing in any way. The reason why is the first opportunity we got to talk about the book, because when Jake first sent me the chapter, I said, I got to have you back on the show to talk about this. But the first chance we got was the last day today that you can get the book for free on Amazon. There's instructions in the show, and there's instructions in the show notes on how you can do that. So let's get right into our conversation already in progress, where I think I said something like, I'm glad we could work this out. And I'm glad we could work this out.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. It's been such an interesting week because I had no idea that it was going to take off like this, but it's got to number one in the entrepreneurship category. And so I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna ride this for as much as I can. And I think it's also nice, hopefully it'll be useful for your listeners because it is directly related, you know. So
yeah, absolutely. So we can actually just start from there. The title of the book is Becoming an Entrepreneur: How to Find Freedom and Fulfillment as a Business Owner. You are Jake DeSillis, and tell us just a little bit about yourself. My audience obviously knows you, but for those who don't.
Sure. Well, I am I run a podcast called The Voluntary Life, which is about mainly entrepreneurship, financial independence, and all things related to freedom. And my background is I was an entrepreneur for 10 years. I set up a business and sold it. And I am currently in the UK, but generally traveling the world on long-term travel and writing.
Mm-hmm. And people might remember you from the most recent thing we did together was I did a series called Presence and Productivity. And we did one of my favorite shows, not only in that series, but one of the things that I just pass off to people. I say, hey, listen to this. And it was called 8 Tools for a Freed Mind and a Voluntary Life. And I highly recommend that to people. And I also have to say that I'm on a small amount of sleep and I haven't recorded a show in over 2 weeks. So I'm glad that you're here today because you require very little editing. We have to do this in one take. So so I'm glad it's you. I'm glad it's you, a professional podcaster. And I'm definitely excited about talking about the book a little bit, because right in the first chapter, you discuss that this huge challenge for anyone who wants to start their own business is really not only identifying their conditioning, but then working to overcome it, right?
Yeah, and this is one of the things that I think isn't talked about very much in books on entrepreneurship. You know, there are great resources out there now for entrepreneurship in general. There's lots of guides and tools and things. But one of the aspects that I wanted to focus on in this book is breaking your employee conditioning, basically. And mm-hmm. and that is particularly relevant for School Sucks, because I think that the place where that most happens is in childhood and in specifically in school. And you know, if you want to become an entrepreneur, then you have to get out of the mindset that we've all been through over a decade at least of conditioning, which is to think of life in terms of, you know, passing exams and then going out and getting a job and having a career where you go from one job to the next and you have bosses and you're an employee and you look for promotions and so forth. And that whole mindset is something that doesn't prepare oneself at all for entrepreneurship. And I learned nothing about entrepreneurship in school and growing up. So that's an aspect, I think, that is a real, really important part of becoming an entrepreneur, is breaking your employee conditioning.
Sure, absolutely. And did you think for you that it was like, Did you feel like it was just a matter of not knowing anything about entrepreneurship? I mean, some people, I think, are graduating without the idea that it's even a possibility for them. Or did you find that as a young adult, you had an accumulation of bad habits from school that kind of steers a person away from entrepreneurship more?
Well, I think in my case, and I think for a lot of people, it was both. Mm-hmm. You know, when I was in school, I didn't really even think about entrepreneurship as a viable opportunity. I was obviously aware that there were entrepreneurs out there, but, you know, I wasn't really even thinking of it. It just, I was concentrating on, you know, okay, well, I need to get my grades in order to be able to go to college and then in order to be able to get a job. Although what was, I guess, partly part of my journey was that I had no clue what kind of career I wanted to do. And I did all sorts of things in my 20s, sort of experimenting. So I was definitely open and interested in it. So, you know, but yeah, as you say, I wasn't really even considering it as a viable and exciting and fulfilling opportunity. It was just a bit of an alien idea, something I didn't really know about. And then on the other side of the equation is also that any of the habits and ideas that we get taught in school and growing up are very much sort of the antithesis of the creative and constructive process of being an entrepreneur. And so, for example, you know, like everyone, I learned to think in terms of what exams do I need to pass? What do I need to do in order to sort of get on to the next level in life, which is a totally different way of thinking to the question that faces you as an entrepreneur, which is, what can I do that would be helpful for other people, that would create value that doesn't exist in the world? What can I do to bring something to other people that would allow me to trade with them, to have, you know, mutual benefit in exchange? And that approach is a, you know, fundamentally creative and fundamentally disruptive approach. And not surprisingly, that doesn't work well within the context of compulsory schooling.
Right, right. And I like the idea of the voluntary value exchange. Like, I can offer you something, you can offer me something. And I think that, I mean, I remember having jobs and feeling like so many people do, feeling stuck in jobs because, like, well, how am I going to go to the dentist if I don't have the dental insurance that this job gives me anymore? So I think instead of people recognizing even their value as an employee to a company, and there's a value exchange there, they say, I need a company. This is one of the big lessons of school. I need a company to kind of take care of me in many ways if I am just willing to show up there every day.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, you know, there's nothing against, obviously, per se, getting a job. I've had jobs too.
Yeah.
And that can work. But the problem is that when the only way you think of life is in terms of needing to go and find that job out there that you fit into, then you miss out on the opportunity to really explore your own potential, to create something, you know, genuinely exciting and fulfilling for yourself. So that's the problem with that, I think.
Mm. Now, excuse me, getting some coffee down while we do this.
I was going to say, if you're very sleep deprived, then if the line goes a bit quiet for a while, you know, I'll start speaking really loud to make sure, see if I can wake you up.
I should be up now. I've been up for almost an hour. But where was I? You actually sent me the first chapter of the book to read when you were first trying to put out the draft, and you'll have to jog my memory. Is the first chapter really just about identifying this conditioning, or do you actually provide some actions that people can take to start undoing that conditioning?
Yeah, well, it's really, the first chapter is about identifying it, and then every chapter of the book really is looking at how that kind of conditioning affects the way that you think about entrepreneurship. So I sent it to you, and I was really grateful for, you know, for your feedback and some of the links that you gave me, because I wanted to try and think about where this employee conditioning comes from and how it fits in with compulsory schooling and with the whole approach that the kind of machine of compulsory schooling, as it got set up in the late 19th century, was all about, sort of factories for producing employees. So that chapter really is just identifying, hey, this is the situation. It's, you know, we need to overcome this conditioning. And then each of the subsequent chapters looks at one aspect of entrepreneurship, and it also identifies how that employee conditioning, and particularly the experience of school, affects your experience as an entrepreneur. So, for example, there's a chapter on learning by selling, and it's about how fundamental selling is as a part of your learning process as an entrepreneur. That's the key way that you get to understand what your customers need, whether or not what you're providing is right, and how to change it and make it better. But the thing that about selling is that it's an activity that is completely alien to the school environment, and it's something that we get kind of conditioned out of, and we kind of get conditioned to think it's kind of a bit sleazy or mm-hmm. somehow not something I really want to do. And of course, you know, we've been trained by people who in school who never sell, who are completely isolated from those kinds of market processes. And so if you want to go out and be an entrepreneur, then, you know, what I'm trying to do in the book is show, first of all, some of those difficulties that we have with ideas like selling and where they come from, but also what the real benefits and positive side of all of these aspects of entrepreneurship is. And for example, you know, selling is obviously how you provide value to other people, but it's also a fundamental way that you learn, and it's an amazing way to learn and completely different to the kind of learning that you get in school.
Yeah, and it's so much more than, you know, selling a car, right? I mean, like, that's what people, they just think about that. You know, I go on to a lot or I go into a place and somebody comes up and they've got an agenda. You're right that we do have a negative attitude towards the practice of selling itself. But what I really think selling is, and why it's useful beyond just a career in sales, is that it's about building a relationship, identifying needs, and making a recommendation. Right. So there's a lot of valuable skills that exist within the practice of selling that are sleazy in no way. Those are three very important things to be able to do in business and elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And many times, you know, the kind of prejudices about selling are really to look at selling as if selling is just trying to rip someone off, when actually that's not what selling is. Selling is a process where you try to find an opportunity for mutual benefit, for mutual exchange. And of course, there are people out there who try and rip people off. But, you know, it's in the same way. You know, people sometimes see books on dating that are full of tips for psychological manipulation, you know, how to kind of manipulate people. But just because those books exist, that doesn't mean that dating is all about psychological manipulation. You know, that there is an opportunity to go out and have a great date with someone, and it doesn't have to involve you, you know, basically trying to manipulate them. Mm-hmm. So, and the same is true of selling. You know, yeah, there are people out there who try and rip other people off, but that's not fundamental to what selling is. So, yeah, that's one example of, I think, some of the prejudices about the process of being an entrepreneur that exists. You know, I mean, I didn't even learn the word entrepreneur until maybe 10 years after I'd learned the word capitalist. And the word capitalist I learned as a kind of a bad thing, you know.
Mm-hmm,
but
sure.
I didn't even learn the word entrepreneur when I was a kid.
Right, right. Now, you, as you grew up, you talked about, and we covered this in the last show we did about productivity as well, that when you first began, you were like really, really scattered and you found it to be a pretty high stress operation. At that time, you had advanced degrees, right? And this is, again, like once we're done with the messages of like secondary school or high school, then we go on to college and we're told that, you know, we need the 4-year and then we need the advanced degree. And you found that all of this was essentially irrelevant, and that wasn't what opened doors for you in the business world.
Yeah. I mean, I got a lot from the advanced study that I did, because I did learn some technical stuff that ended up being useful. But what was really humbling was to realize that, you know, I had an MSc and I had a PhD, and those kind of things are largely irrelevant when it comes to business. When it comes to business, what matters is, can you actually help people? Can you provide something valuable to them? That's what makes the difference. And yet, when you're in academia and when you're in sort of in college, you think these things are going to matter. And they just don't when it comes to really fundamental questions about, can you give people something that will improve their lives?
Absolutely. So let me ask you this, right? Because in the first chapter, you're talking about the process of manufacturing employees. And there was a lot of people around the same time that the schools were being set up who were also manufacturing wants. So do you see the, you obviously recognize, I think, that there is that in that manipulation that we just talked about, that psychology is brought into this. I guess it could be from kind of okay to very nefarious, depending on what we're talking about. But how does that, as far as identifying what people want, how did that process work out for you?
Well, that's, I think, the experimental and learning process that you have to go through. And that's part of the process that my selling is so important, because one of the things that I experienced and that a lot of people experience is that you have your own pet interests that you think are really cool and interesting and that you want to spend time on developing. And for me, you know, we did built computer simulations of things and pedestrian flows, actually. And I was really into spending time on the R&D. But it actually, what really helped was going out and trying to sell, trying to provide a product to customers, and then finding out, wow, there are some things that I thought were really interesting that are absolutely no interest whatsoever to my customers. And so I think you have to, there is a kind of trial and error learning process where whatever you think is going to be great, the real test is, can you go out there and actually sell it to somebody? And so in my case, you know, I had quite a lot of technical expertise. I knew quite a lot about some technical stuff. But what I was lacking and what I developed was customer empathy, really understanding what are the needs of the people I'm trying to sell to. In my case, it was shopping center developers and architects, and trying to understand, you know, what's the problem for them when it comes to pedestrian movement. How can we help them, and what value will that actually make for them? How is that going to benefit their bottom line in the end? And so that was one aspect. And then the second aspect was understanding the industry, gaining industry knowledge, and being able to now not just have technical expertise, but know how money flows around the customers that I was trying to reach, and how I could potentially help them.
Yeah, I found that there was this problem for me, just to go back to customer empathy, with volume, right? So when I started a tutoring business and we, you know, built up a base of people, and I was the vice president of the company, but I was also doing all of the tutoring. So I was just like driving all over the state of New Hampshire from one place to the other. And it found like, okay, this is just the next stop. Like I was, delivering bagels or something. You know, like I'm just throwing them out and then getting back in the truck and driving off. And it doesn't require much more than that. So talk a little bit about how that went for you as far as, you know, building that empathy for the customer. I mean, or was it there naturally, do you think?
Well, you know, what you're talking about and what I think is also really crucial is this change in mindset that we have to go through in business. And that is the change from being right in the center of everything to extracting yourself from the workflow. So, you know, we learn in school that it's kind of heroic to take on more responsibility and fill out more forms, do more stuff. You kind of imagine that that's what productivity is. You have a career in jobs where you're constantly taking on more and more and more responsibilities in order to get that raise and so forth.
Right, the backpack full of papers for adults, pretty much.
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly. And the fundamental change in mindset when you're an entrepreneur is you do the opposite. What your job as an entrepreneur is to extract yourself from the delivery, to extract yourself from workflows, so that you can actually get a kind of bird's eye perspective on your business and create a business that can run without you. And that was a real process for me too. I worked ridiculously long hours, like you were saying, you know, good, just in terms of going from one school situation to another. I was just working stupidly long hours. I wasn't delegating properly, and I was taking on all this responsibility. And I sort of thought that this was the, you know, heroic thing to do to try and grow my business. And then when I realized that actually that's not how businesses grow and that's not how businesses work, that your job as an entrepreneur is to create workflows and get out of them. Get yourself out of them. As one of the chapters in the book is called Make Yourself Redundant. And that's really the key idea, is that, you know, the role of the entrepreneur is to create the workflows and then extract themselves to make yourself redundant so that you have a business that is capable of running without you.
You know, it's funny, like last night, I was actually, when I'm finished up with you today, I was recording an explanation for why we haven't done shows in a couple weeks. And one of the reasons was I needed a break. Now, obviously, this is a very small scale example, what I do. But The gist of it was, and it took me 20 minutes to explain this, which I'm not going to, you know, force upon anyone who downloads the podcast. I'm going to re-edit it. I'm going to redo it and try to make it 3 minutes. But the gist of it was, hey, everything went wrong all at once and I'm responsible for all of it, you know? And that's stressful. And it was frustrating to the point where I don't want to say like I broke down, but I just said, oh, I got to get away. I got to get away for a week. So, and it turned out to be 2 weeks. So I really like the idea and have tried to implement the idea. The ideas that we talked about before on my show of, you know, creating the workflow and being able to step out of it. Because it also, for me, it relates to the idea of being able to externalize, being able to identify and then put something where it needs to go. You know, at the very least, to get it out of this head that, as David Allen says, is for having those ideas, you know, that entrepreneurs need, but not for holding them all and trying to organize them all without workable systems in place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I think that pretty much everyone goes through that process because it's a bit like with, you know, with alcoholics, you have to hit rock bottom. I think with entrepreneurs, you probably have to get to that point where it's just like, I cannot do this any longer, taking on all of this pressure. I've got to find a better way of doing it. Or at least that's what happened to me. It wasn't through, you know, intelligent foreplanning that I got to the point of realizing that that I had to change the way I was working. It was because, you know, you just can't go on like that. No one has the energy. And so, yeah, I think it gets to the point where you have to have either you give up or you have a fundamental reappraisal and you try and look at how you can extract yourself from workflows. And a part of that is knowing what, if you're able to kind of convey the purpose of the business really, really clearly, and this is another one of the chapters of the book, is talking about your job as an entrepreneur being to provide the purpose to really, for everyone you work together with and everyone that you're selling to and for everybody to really provide a clear understanding of what this is for and for that to be in line with your core values. If you're able to do that, then it's not so much about you, and you're able to create something that can survive without you. And you know, you can see this with School Sucks. You are creating a community. There are starting to be things happening that are not just to do with Brett talking, but they're to do with, you know, people coming together for the purpose of School Sucks, the reevaluation of education, and so forth. So you know, you can already see where that can, of you being able to extract yourself from the workflow, and for people to be able to, you know, to push forward with the kind of School Sucks project without you necessarily having to be there for every single thing.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because those were some of the most satisfying moments. The first time when we first set up like a fully functional website back in like 2010, and people started to flood in and talk to each other and even fight with each other. And I remember I had this blogger that he was a YouTuber. I said, hey, will you come write just your own stuff? And then he got in this huge fight with Stefan Kinsella, and it was fantastic. And you know, and then the shows I've been doing with Thaddeus Russell, I post them in this group that I've set up, because I think it's time for it seems like internet forums in many cases are dying if the same kind of conversations can be going on Facebook. People already have Facebook open anyway. So yeah. I finally, earlier this year, set up a Facebook group, and I've been posting those Thaddeus shows in there. And the conversations that go on without any participation from me. And it is just, it's so exciting just to go and check in and see the notifications, so that a life of its own kind of thing is really moving to me, and it's really motivating. And also, obviously, when people tell me, I listened to the show and I did this, this, and this, it's like what Harry Brown used to say, like, make sure you get out there and talk to these people, because you never know how they're going to take what you've said and run with it. You know, so I'm really, really excited about the stories that I get back from people about what they're doing, either with their families or their own education. And even I have this great new friend here in New Hampshire, Carlos Morales, who moved here from down south. And he's becoming very, very successful. And he said, you know, School Sucks was one of the reasons why I do this. And that's awesome to hear. So I love that idea That you, you know, you clarify a purpose, and if people understand it and embrace it, there's a time when you can step back and you can watch all of these other wonderful things happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as far as I said, people might not have known what I was talking about early on when I said we have to do this in one take, and this is very urgent. But this is very urgent. Today is the 4th of July, and I want to get the show out today before I leave town. We have a reason why we want people to know about this ASAP. So you want to talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, absolutely. So the book is currently free. Mm-hmm. I'm giving the book away this week. And it's on Amazon, so you can get it from Amazon in your own home country, whichever that is, Amazon.com or .ca or whatever. And it's currently free, and this is the last day of the free giveaway. And it's been just an awesome week. It's now I've had so many giveaways that it's now at the number one spot for entrepreneurship and small business.
Awesome.
And I really want to give away as many as I can, especially for people who are listening to School Sucks. To be able to have the opportunity to do that. So all you need to do is just go to Amazon and grab it. Grab the Kindle book for free.
Okay, so my show notes will be very simple. It will just be that link, and people can go and download it, I assume, right?
Yeah, and just to say, you know, some people think, oh, well, I don't have a Kindle, so there's no point in me having this. You actually don't need a Kindle in order to read a Kindle book, because Amazon, most people may know this, but if you don't happen to know, Amazon provides free Kindle readers for pretty much anything, like a phone or an iPad or a PC or a Mac or anything like that. So you don't need to have a Kindle in order to read the book. You can download it and read it on a Kindle reading app. Which is totally free on any device you like. And you can also, just get it. And then if you want to, you can convert it with a free program like Calibre or Caliber into a different format. But basically, just get the free Kindle app from Amazon if you don't have a Kindle and read it on that.
Awesome. Well, I hope people will go and do that. And I really, really appreciate, first of all, this book being out there. And all of your contributions to School Sucks in the past, and of course, your own podcast, which I highly recommend, The Voluntary Life. So just in closing here, what's coming up with that?
Well, at the moment, I've got some really interesting interviews coming up with lots of people who are traveling the world and who have reached financial independence from their own saving. I'm going to be interviewing various people who are doing that lifestyle.
Oh, yeah, that's great. I have something similar coming up on my show soon. So, Jake, I appreciate you taking the time to contribute once again to School Sucks, and I hope to have you back in the future. I'm sure we can find plenty of things to do together.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Brett. That was great fun. Yeah!